talk about yesterday and what really told the team was for us, we didn't live up to our standard. And that's something that we've worked at extremely hard this offseason. So there were certain areas in this ball game that didn't take place. We had some critical penalties offensively in the red zone that certainly hurt some drives there. And then defensively, some of the fouls that we had led, I believe, to 17 points. So that part for sure was not up to our standard. Then defensively, we've certainly got to be better. Allowing 31 points, we were only able to get one takeaway in the game, and then to allow 8 explosive plays, 3 of which were scores, that's not acceptable. And so we spent a lot of time on that today with the D. Past that, there were a lot of good things that I saw. I thought offensively they did an excellent job with the ball. They had a real consciousness, were very mindful of it. It was hard to get. They were going after it, but they were not able to. Saw some improvement defensively on third down, with the exception of the penalties. You felt the speed. You saw some of the matchups in that way for sure. There were some explosive plays on offense, and I thought the running backs were certainly a big factor in that, especially in the pass game. I thought Matt did a nice job. I think he was, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 27 of 39. We counted 3 drops as well. So I thought for his game, he was really on point and did a good job. So lots of things for us to clean up as we get ready to change the page today for Oakland. But we were definitely disappointed to see defensively knowing points, turnovers, and explosives are at the top of our list, and we didn't play well in that area. And with that, I'll open up to your guys' questions regarding the game.
Sir,
before we get to football, Coach, could we discuss Hegman's domestic violence arrest and where the team's at, whether he's being reviewed for suspension?
Sure, we're aware of the serious allegations that are there. Under the player conduct policy, we're not allowed to, you know, comment on any investigation forthright, but we have been aware of those, but won't further comment until the league, you know, comes to a final conclusion and all the facts have been brought forth.
Coach, when did you find out about the arrest?
We found out about allegations in March, and then you report everything right then up to the league office, so that's where it went from there. And like I said, we'll have no further comment on it. But that's how the policy goes, where you go and you report it right to the league.
Dan, but there was a kid in camp, I forget his name, who had allegations, who was let go immediately. I mean, last year Prince was cut the day he was arrested. Why is Rashid Hegman getting different treatment?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment, you know, further on that due to the, you know, the player conduct. But I think each, you know, situation is different. And for us, this one, we're certainly going to allow the, you know, the appropriate channels to take place.
Can you comment on at all on any repercussions he's faced with the team?
I cannot.
Anything game-related, guys?
Coach, some people have commented on your always positive approach, saying they'd sometimes like to see you more fired up. What's your philosophy behind being so positive?
Well, I would say you're not privileged to the information that sometimes goes on behind closed doors. And those tough conversations are certainly ones that we have very regularly, and especially on today. So I certainly don't let my coaching style get dictated through the media. So those conversations are ones that we do have a lot of animated conversations, I'll say, about the way and style that we play. So I have a lot of passion for what I do, that's for sure. And sort of my enthusiasm and love for what I do, that's for sure there also. But we're going to be a disciplined group. And those conversations, although you guys aren't there for, are spirited, as you could might imagine.
It's only 1 week.
Right.
Is it too early to say anything's a trend, even though you were seeing some of the problems last year that manifested itself in this game?
I would have to say yes. And I think what happens also in this first game, like, you're so juiced, you just want to show what things can be different. And for us, we felt that speed, you know, was certainly different defensively. So for us to not perform like we were capable of and have some of the fouls that took place that were uncharacteristic for us, we're definitely surprised by that. But it is one game, one that we recognize the significance of it being a division game. But the corrections that will be made are correctable ones. So there's not a scenario to say, boy, that's going to be a trend all year. The issues that we had in this game, we felt as coaches and as players that were correctable ones, and that's what we plan to do.
Coach, seems like Matt Quinn does a good job with the no huddle. He's had good success with it in the past.
Right. We're close, but we're not brothers.
Is there any guy?
Yeah.
That's him too. But Matt Ryan better, obviously, with the no huddle. Any feeling about maybe trying to expand that? Does that fit what Kyle Shanahan wants to do?
Well, I certainly understand your point of no huddle. And oftentimes when you move fast, it works great. And there's also times when it doesn't, where it can really tax your team. And I think, and we think personally, it's best when it's intermixed into the game. It's not like a college, you know, we're big, you know, we understand college football and high school football around here. We don't have 70 players to play and you can just, you know, randomly throw guys in. But Matt at the line, we check a lot of things. He has the, you know, pretty much on every play to have the ability to go in and out of calls. But we prefer going in and out of that tempo, and we think that adds a bigger stress. So I understand where you're coming from, and it's a good teaching moment for us to talk about why we don't just line up and go no huddle every play. We're always going to do what's best for our team. And I thought from in and out of the huddle and the tempo that Matt can play with, doesn't have to be no huddle to play with that kind of urgency. I think he showed that yesterday.
Coach, you said the other day, you talked about Devontae. You said you love the energy, the passion, the fire that he plays with.
Yep.
That being said, what's the delicate balance when you're trying to get Tevin more incorporated in the offense and then maybe Devontae's not on the field for some key situations?
I didn't look at it that way, Vaughn, only to say we know both these guys are going to be a factor. And, you know, we had just had two running backs active yesterday. So for the, you know, whole portion of the game, both of them have do significant things really well. And we're going to utilize them both. Devontae has shown he's definitely capable of carrying the load all the way through. But the fact that we have two guys that we're able to feature, it's important. And both of them are going to be a really big factor in what we're doing.
So you like that balance? It looked like
we like having a duo. I don't know what the numbers came out to. I know Devontae had more plays. But, you know, having Tevin in there, you know, to allow Devontae with this passion to be even fresher, you can imagine the mismatch nightmare that he creates in some of the times in the pass game. Both of them showed that yesterday. So we're going to rely on them both a lot, Vaughn.
And on that same subject, when you went back and looked at the tape, what did you see they weren't getting going in the run game? Was it the, you know, were blocking's not there? Were they not seeing
them? We had some opportunities, man, to hit some big ones. And oftentimes in the run game, they've got some really talented guys in the front. We knew it would be a challenge in the run game. But can you have a couple of those that go for the 20-yarder, the 25-yard run? And when those don't break, then it doesn't get, you know, it doesn't show up where we had a successful day running. So that might have been a combination. Did the receiver come down and crack? Did we open up the hole? Did one guy get beat? For those guys, when they hit to that next level and they get on a safety or on a linebacker, that's when those explosive plays come. And yesterday, our explosive plays came in the pass game. So we felt we missed some opportunities, Vaughn, in the run game to have those explosives. They ran hard. But when those opportunities come, that's about doing right longer and finishing on this play, and we showed some of those examples today.
Coach, Vic Beasley, saw on the field for 39 snaps, but didn't show on the stat sheet. What was the film review of his play?
Well, he played mostly in the nickel package. We had about 40 snaps in nickel and maybe, you know, 15 or 20 in our base package in this game. You know, outside, we felt like, you know, he had some pressure. He did some nice things. As he went back all the way through the tape, he didn't affect the game enough. The quarterback hits came from some other sides. One time he went high and created some other opportunities for other guys down low. So, you know, it didn't show up in the stat sheet way on some of the things of the work that he did.
What about Leo a little while to get involved in the passing game?
Can you start again?
It took Leo a little while to get involved on the score sheet, but it didn't seem like it affected the pass game a whole lot. How encouraging was it to see different receivers get involved?
Well, it just makes it that much harder. And I think the screen game, you know, kind of coming alive, it's another factor of what we do. Defensively, that's very hard to defend, you know, with the run game, with the play action. Now you add the screen game in with guys like Free and Devontae, who are significant factors. It just opens up more opportunities. So we've got an explosive group. Eight different guys caught it. And we, like I said, we had a few drops. I think we ended up with the runners, you know, over 150 yards and total yards. And I think the receivers, you know, are going to be a significant factor in what we're doing. We've got some really explosive guys, and we got some guys that can really fly. So we're very encouraged by some of the things we saw in the pass game.
Coach, what about the overall pass rush? What did you see?
Well, we saw more speed, for sure. That part we saw, I think, ended up being six quarterback hits. Not all of them are on a four-man rush. It's really an area that we're still emphasizing, and we're not going to be as good as we will be as we're working through the year, both in our base package and our nickel package. But there was definitely some signs that had some encouraging things.
Coach, in the post-Rerice era, have there been seminars, lessons, teachings to the team, to the players about domestic violence and issues of like domestic violence?
There's been a number of them. And I think the league, in particular Kevin Winston and the player engagement office here, really do a good job. And in their part of understanding and helping educate, you know, issues that come up and how best to resolve them. So, yes, there's been quite a bit.
Dan, you got close to
coached a couple of times in Winston, a couple of, just escaped. I mean, he was like a wet bar of soap. But is it fair to say that close is not enough in this case, or is close enough to affect what any quarterback will do in that situation?
Yeah, most QBs, when you get them off the spot, the completion percentage goes down. And honestly, that's what you're looking for first. What you love about the sacks on first, second down is the yards that are lost. And even third down, it's an opportunity to get the ball off somebody. So generally, the most fumbles come from the quarterback. So getting them off the spot is good. But we do like, tackling where the op is there to make a game-changing play with the sack. That's the forced fumble. So for us not to get them down, there were some hits like we addressed earlier. But it's still a factor. Still that when you get the guy wrapped up and you're taking a shot of the ball on the way down.
You said last night that this team is better equipped than the team that you had last year. Now they've had some time to
I'd probably say the overall speed, is the one thing that jumps out both offensively and defensively. I thought last night as well, that was evident, on special teams. The punt game with Bostra, he boomed a couple. I think we had 4 out of 5 that were, inside the 20. You could see the speed outside at Gunner. You saw that with Goodwin. The speed at a number of spots is different, and it feels that way. Now, that all that said, defensively allowing that many points, you're not going to win many games doing that. So we're not going to live that life where we have allowed that kind of points to be allowed, and the explosives were a big factor in that. The good news is we felt those techniques that happened are correctable.
Do you think it was third down defense? Do you think that speed played a role in that?
It certainly did, and that part is going to be a factor. And it usually is a factor in creating takeaways. The more speed you have, the more urgency you're playing with. So we've got to keep digging. Having one is not enough. And if you're going to be a really ball-hawking outfit, that ball's got to be loose more than that.
Coach, we didn't ask you this after the game, but Rasheed not playing yesterday,
right.
Was it at all related to this?
No, Vaughn, it was not. This was everything related to we thought it was going to be a bigger nickel game. So we chose to have Courtney up instead.
Coach, what was the most disappointing thing for you as you watched?
I would say what I told the team was the biggest thing is not finishing and doing right longer. So having, the pre-snap fouls or a personal, foul that, one took us out of a field goal range when we were offensively, and then, defensively having some of those drives, I didn't see that coming. And we're a pretty disciplined outfit with a lot of resiliency. So for us to have some of those kind of fouls and pre-snap penalties, we can't play as good as we can when that happens. And so that part of our game I know we'll get right.
Offensive line, is it correctable? Or would we ever see a guy like Schweitzer or somebody else really change personnel?
Yeah, we felt there were spots that were these were correctable issues. We let up a sack for sure on one where I believe it was Chris got beat at right guard on McCoy. We knew he was an active player inside, but we felt like the techniques we saw inside are correctable for sure. We're never going to back off competition being the central theme. So for Schweitzer to keep digging and keep pushing, that's part of it for sure, but that won't be just yet.
How much did you all blitz, and how much of an alternative is that to help you with the pass rush? Couple linebacker hits.
You did, and I guess it was about 10 times that we played some kind of man-to-man coverage, and we were wanting to see where Campbell would be in that way led, his length as a cover man. He had a PI in the first series that resulted in a long play, but we were pleased to see him at the line of scrimmage being able to challenge. So that's going to be a factor for us, and one that we knew we wanted to be able to do. And so I was anxious to see him and Ish. We knew that was going to be a factor with Neil, and so with him out, we're going to ask Ish to step up and do some things as well. So it's definitely a plan of what we want to do, Led, and we started that, somewhat yesterday.
Yeah, one more on Hagman. Well, sure. Going forward, will it be an issue to make him active or not active based off the allegations?
No. Yeah, just straight football decisions, yep. So, honestly, it's a player conduct, in the league's hands, and really not going to discuss that further.
You happy with Devondre Campbell? I know there's some good moments and some bad moments.
There was, and overall he's been somebody that's just answered the bell each time we've tried to, rattle him or put him in a new spot or try new things. It's the length and the speed that he's able to play with. We matched him up on a good tight end yesterday, and he answered that challenge with the exception of the PI, that I saw. And even in that one, I thought he had good position, but the technique can get better where he can go back and play the ball. So those were the things that you get encouraged about. Say, I know this part, we can get corrected. We also know there's going to be some growing pains. Like that play had to happen for him to know, okay, from this part in, I'm going to be in this position against tight ends quite a bit. How do I go nail this the next time? And I think that goes with growing some as a young player to put you in different spots and the different matchups that we have. But I was encouraged with the young linebackers in their first outing.
Dan, how many missed tackles did you?
We had nine missed tackles, and four of them took place on one play.
Coach, you all are getting ready to go play Oakland.
Yep.
They generally play better, and they're players in the back hole in that atmosphere there. How do you plan to get the team ready for that? And y'all,
sure.
Y'all had a great atmosphere up in Seattle with the 12 men.
Number one, after we get done with the team today, then it's time to switch, and then it's time to turn the page. And we'll take the team out on Friday. We'll practice here, and then we'll take the team out Friday. Then we'll have a walkthrough Saturday. The good news for us, we know it's going to be a loud environment, and we'll get the crowd noise cranked up here for our practice and work silent cadence. We've kind of planned on that. We've had some periods where we've already done that led through camp and even through practice last week, just so we're getting real comfortable in those high-pressure moments where it's all no huddle and use hand signals, use silent cadence. And then past that, we're going to execute like we can. And, to use the phrase, we're going to do what we do. We're going to execute better and do what we do better. And we're looking forward to the challenge. They got some featured guys and certainly some terrific guys offensively for us to match up at receiver and quarterback. They got a big, strong offensive line. And then defensively, we knew some of the athletes who were there and coached some of them. So I know firsthand how well they can play.
Coach, how is Julio's ankle today, and do you know how he'll practice this week?
We're not sure about for Wednesday yet. I would think for, at the very least into some of the walkthrough stuff, and if he would miss any, we'll have a better feel for that. He's an incredible competitor and somebody that's a fast healer, so he's a hard guy to keep down, I can tell you that. But, we'll take a look as we go through Wednesday and Thursday, and I'll have more information for you on Wednesday as, the work that he progresses through the week.
Same for Mohamed
then,
too, I guess.
And same for Mo, yep.
We're also in the window where Keanu Neal might be about ready to come back. Can you give us an update on where
We're close, but we're not there yet. And so he's participating in the running, portion of things, and then we'll take it through Thursday, Friday, and see, how fast he can progress. Then we'll, kind of make a decision towards the end of the week. But as it sits right today, he won't participate in Wednesday's practice.
So you don't anticipate?
I just say you're not going to rule him out for Sunday yet.
Not yet. And he's kind of chomping at the bit and went to the doctor. What else can I do? And now he's out on the grass and getting back. So we're always do right by the players to make sure they're back and their health is right. But he's definitely somebody that's working hard at it.
You're dealing with a lot of non-football stuff, but with all the demonstrations that went on yesterday, did you and your team talk about anything that they were going to do, or did they decide not to do anything?
And we decided not to do anything. And as a group, we felt like we wanted to make Sunday about 9/11. And, the memory and of that day and the significance for our country on that day. So not to take away from anybody else, but we just felt on that day, it was a game changer for lots of us. And for the guys who were young coming up, we talked about that, and we even showed some film on that for Saturday morning to now look at it, as a 24, 25, 26-year-old as opposed to, some of the young guys that they were. Look at it from an adult view. For all of us who are standing here, it was a significant time and one that we'll always remember. But for the guys who were the young guys, they were in middle school and, third period in the fourth grade. So we had a lot of talk about it. We really did. But we really wanted to make that day about 9/11 and give its significance and its due the proper respect.